Associate Professor Jason Gurney is a Māori epidemiologist, director of the Cancer and Chronic Conditions C3 Research Group and research portfolio leader of the wider Department of Public Health. Jason's got expertise leading national projects in cancer, its chronic conditions and congenital condition epidemiology. His particular expertise and interest is in the investigation and explanation of inequities in health outcomes between Māori and non-Māori in this country, and it's great to have him with us for a kōrero. O tēnā koe, Jason. Ngā mihi nui kā koe, nau mai.
Morena, Dale. How are you? Always nice to talk.
Thanks, Jason. It's good to catch up with you again. E ho, tēnā koe. E pātai tuatai. Māori are more likely to live away from main centres and therefore access to medical services. How does that affect overall healthcare, Jason?
Well, it presents a really vexing challenge. I mean, we talk about this in this recent paper we published last week about it's kind of a 1-2 punch almost, where you have Māori more likely to live in rural areas that are further away from where care is delivered, and Māori also being more likely to live in deprivation, which means they're less likely to be able to afford to get to the care in the main centres. So it's that kind of 1-2 punch. So it's almost like a paradox. It's the opposite of what we need. If Māori are going to live further away, then Māori need to have more resources, and that's just the opposite of what's happening. So it's a real challenge. It's a real problem. I mean, most of our whānau do live in urban areas, but Māori are more likely to live rurally than non-Māori, so it's certainly a challenge.
Well, we know that perhaps access to GPs is one thing, but when you're looking for specialist care, i.e. you've got issues battling cancer, living in rural communities must be a significant disadvantage.
It absolutely is. So, for example, if you're diagnosed with cancer and you're living in the far north, up in Te Tau Tokoro, where I was born, up there, if you're diagnosed with cancer and you need radiation therapy, you absolutely must, at present, travel down to Auckland Hospital to receive that care. The reason for that is in that you need, essentially, to provide radiation therapy, you need these big bunkers, if you can imagine, you know, sort of World War II style bunkers where these radiation centres are, because they need to make sure that they keep all the dangerous beams contained within the bunker. And so they're very expensive and very, they're costly to run. They've got, the sort of specialty that you need to be able to run it. It's not everyone can run those sorts of things. So there's only a few. There's only about six spread around the whole country. And so if you live up north, you need to travel, absolutely need to travel to Auckland Hospital to get that care. Now, we help our whānau to do that in some way. So, for example, we have a scheme called the National Travel Assistance Scheme that provides some money back to whānau to pay for things like gas and accommodation and that sort of thing. But one of the key problems that we talk about in our paper we published last week is that currently that's a reimbursement scheme, which means that whānau have to pay the upfront costs associated with travelling down, say from Kai or one of those other areas up north or wherever you are around the Motu. To get to that main centre, you still have to provide that upfront cost. And if you're already living in a pretty impoverished situation, you might not have that cash in the first place. And that would be a relatively straightforward change. You know, I mean, these things are always more complex than we give them credit to be. They are complex things. But if you just change it from a situation where instead of reimbursing people, you trust them, you have a higher trust model where you give people money up front, that will kind of take away that problem, and it's something that I think we could do in the short to medium term. So there are solutions, I think.
One of them seems to be taking the equipment and expertise to the peeps. We can do that with dialysis. I know some smaller centres have pushed hard, raised money for that to become a reality. Is it impractical when dealing with cancer kaupapa, Jason, to take expertise and equipment north, south, east, or west?
Some things are impractical. I mean, if we just be realistic for a second here, I mean, it's not practical to put a radiation therapy bunker in the far north. I mean, it is, you know, we are talking at the moment about putting one up in Whangarei, and that might happen. But there's all sorts of other considerations that come along with that. If you spend millions and millions and millions of dollars putting a bunker up in Whangarei or somewhere around there to provide radiation therapy, that money has to come from somewhere. So you're always making these kind of decisions about what you can and cannot fund. There's other so that's for things like radiation therapy. If we then, but then if we think about some other areas where we might get more quicker wins and be able to bring care closer to home, things like patients having to travel to see specialists. Say a specialist lives down in Auckland, for example. There is no specialty for, you know, whatever the person needs to see, and they're living in Kyle or whatever. Now we can bring that care to them into their community. We can have more clinicians, you know, operating more widely, not operating surgically, but you know, moving around widely around across the Motu, bringing people to the patients rather than the other way around. I think that absolutely can work for lots of things like specialty appointments. We haven't really considered properly how we could deliver chemotherapy with a marae, for example. I think we need to have a better conversation and discussion about how we can make that happen safely. You certainly need to be safe and put you know, controls and safety practices around those things, but that's not impossible. And that would be a situation where, you know, just like the dialysis example that you give there, that's a situation where you can bring that care closer to home without too much fear of doing too much damage. And that has all sorts of ramifications. It means that people can access that care more easily. They don't have to do things like organised childcare and all those things for travelling down to Auckland or other to other main centres as well.
It's a very interesting suggestion, Jason, a chemotherapy at a marae. What would need to happen for that to become a reality?
Well, first and foremost, resourcing. These are always the questions. I mean, at the end of the day, the bottom line, it comes down to money. The second thing is the availability of specialisation. So in order to deliver systemic therapy within marae, you need to have more people who are trained to provide that care who live within our communities. So it's a workforce issue. So it's not just money, it's also a workforce to make sure that that care can be delivered safely. There's a reason why a lot of chemotherapy is delivered within hospitals. You need to make sure that there's access to the kind of care that you might need to keep a patient safe, because these are toxic medicines in a lot of cases that we're giving people to try and help them with their cancer. And so that's why we deliver a lot of that care in hospitals, because we want to make sure that we have the best care on hand just in case something goes wrong. But that doesn't mean that some of that care cannot be provided out in the community. And I think we need to start having that conversation now about how we might be able to do that in a safe way.
Some interesting kōrero. Thanks so much, Jason. Māori and cancer, and the report written last week, is there something significant from it that you think our listeners could benefit from knowing?
I just think that we need to be making some pretty loud noises that our Māori Health Authority, Te Aka Whai Ora, is absolutely essential for solving these problems. And any discussion that that in a post-election world, regardless of the outcome, that an organisation is under threat is very troubling and worrying, because this is our first chance in a generation to make some really strong imprints on the inequities that our Māori whānau are experiencing. We can't just keep doing the same thing and hope for a different result. That's insanity. What we need is to put our whānau at the centre of our decision making, and Te Aka Whai Ora is absolutely setting themselves up to do just that. So when you speak to Shane Leti later in the day, I would be putting them on the spot and saying to him, if National are elected, what are they going to do about Te Aka Whai Ora? Because getting rid of Te Aka Whai Ora is not an option.
It's great catching up with you again, Jason. Thanks so much for your insights and suggestions. They're very intriguing and interesting. I appreciate your thoughts and time. Nei rā tamu, kia koe, te rangatira.
Kia ora e hoa.
Tēnā koe, Jason.